Welcome to PLMA Live. I'm Maureen Donahue. Joining me today is Eric Kaner. He is the Director for Competitive Strategies and Insights at dunnhumby. And today we're going to be talking about the release of the 9th Annual Retailer Preference Index. This is research into every facet of customer behavior and what a shopper considers before they go into a store and spend their money. And we're going to share it with you. So welcome, Eric.
Thanks for having me.
So tell us, who's in the top spot and why do you think that is?
Familiar retailer, HEB, in the top spot. And they have a pretty strong grip on that spot. And a big reason why is the strength of their private brand portfolio. We measure a lot of different facets of the customer value proposition, but private brand is one of those that we tend to see as the most commonly held strength among retailers at the top of the ranking in the U.S. And HEB scores tops in both quality and savings of their private brand portfolio. They're third in the country in that spot, and strength of emotional connection too with the private brand portfolio. And that's just really one reason among many, but that's probably one of the biggest reasons, given just the ability of private brand to both drive quality perceptions and savings perceptions, two of the most important dimensions in the customer value proposition.
Got it. Do you see anything rising among all of the top winners in terms of private brands? It seems like that's a common thread here.
The ones that are at the top of the list, that strength in private brand is just something they've held consistently. And I think to produce a really strong customer value proposition that is differentiated from the market in a way that is lasting, you have to be consistent in applying really relevant strengths to the market. And I think consistency and that maintained focus on private brand is a big reason why those at the top have really stayed at the top the past several years. There's been some shuffling between them year over year as context shifts a little bit. But those at the top, I think, have a pretty tight hold on that top, let's say 6 or 7. And private brand is a big part of that. Whole Foods is a retailer that we've seen them emphasizing their private brand more in recent years, and that's paying off in terms of the strength of the emotional connection they achieve with their shoppers, with their private brand portfolio.
There was a new player in the top three. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes. We have expanded our data collection window so we could collect more data on smaller retailers, and that's allowed us to expand our rankings from 72 retailers last year to 81. And one of those retailers we have the ability to track now is Woodman's, a small regional player with about 20 stores and headquartered in southern Wisconsin. And they debut very strongly at number 3 in the list overall. And they actually bumped Costco one spot down, who was 3rd last year. So Woodman's takes their spot, not necessarily because Costco's done anything worse or the market hasn't shifted in favor of Costco. It's just, we now have a look into a small regional retailer with a value proposition for customers that's actually stronger than Costco.
Eric, reveal to us some insights about how grocery is being affected in the United States versus what you see globally.
Yeah, sure. That's another new feature of the report this year is we've taken care to compare the U.S. RPI results to the dozen or so other countries that we conduct RPI studies in every year. And one thing that was really interesting was that the importance of savings, price promotions, rewards are more important in the U.S. than almost any other country that we measure in Europe, South America, North America. The two exceptions are Colombia and Canada. Those are the only two markets in the world where savings is more important in grocery and driving retailer results. And there's some things that drive that contextually. Long-term inflation rates. Wherever they're higher, savings, the importance of savings tends to be higher, and they're higher in the U.S. compared to Europe. But one thing that is also a common driver of the importance of savings is how secure people's basic needs are in a country. And the U.S. actually measures lower on security of basic needs like access to food, affordable housing, healthcare than every European market, than Canada. Colombia and Brazil are just two exceptions to that. So I think that's a big part of the story. And when we look at the consumer trends tracker that Dunnhumby does, we see that 56% of people in the U.S. report being financially insecure, and 17% report sometimes not having enough food to eat because they can't afford it. So that's that latter numbers. If you project it to the populations, around 60 million people in the U.S., which is more than the population of Canada. So we have 60 million people in the U.S. who just can't afford to feed themselves on a regular basis. One thing the report does too this year is look within the U.S. cities and submarkets where people are more financially versus less financially secure. And even in the most financially secure markets, the most food secure markets, we do see a high percentage of people shopping savings first retailers. And that just underscores the importance of savings, not just for people who we think of as more price sensitive, but even less price sensitive people still prioritize savings.
Gotcha. Well, last year you predicted that sales would be driven this year by the sales-focused shopper rather than the quality-focused shoppers. And the RPI absolutely backed that up. What else did the research bear out that you guys predicted and came true? And were there any surprises?
Last year, we talked about savings as a mindset that is going to last going forward in a way that was heightened prior to COVID. So we saw that trend emerging in 2023, 2024. And this year, we saw the importance of savings and driving retailer results increase even more. So retailers who have strong customer value propositions and saving customers money are the ones that have continue to have more momentum. One thing that was a little bit of a surprise, I think, is while savings did increase in importance, so did the importance of quality. The elements of the value proposition for retailers that declined in importance were elements related to the digital experience. That's becoming less important and driving different results for retailers. More of those experiential elements, whereas savings and quality of the assortment is becoming more important. And so the surprising bit was seeing quality and savings rise in importance. And I think that's really benefited the ends of the spectrum as far as what retailers are offering customers. Really clear quality first retailers and savings first retailers grew the fastest this past year, where retailers who, especially regional supermarkets with an undifferentiated value proposition, they saw their growth slow.
Last year, we talked a little bit about mid-market players and how a decent product at a decent price was going to be good for resiliency. But the RPI is showing those mid-market players struggling a little bit. And it also revealed that the American shopper is feeling the affordability crisis more than shoppers in other countries. So let's talk a little bit more about this value core and how it's really impacting customer preference in a way beyond what we've seen in past economic crises.
The value core being the quality savings equation on the assortment. I think last year we made the point that a mid-market retailer who is offering a balanced equation there, not necessarily leading on quality or savings, can do well if they just really deliver that core promise well of balanced value. One thing we're just highlighting in the RPI more this year is that retailers who are trying to offer that balanced quality savings equation, but just not executing it as well, their growth has been slower over the last 5 years, but especially in the last year, it's being squeezed. So I think the idea of being a mid-market retailer who isn't really differentiated is really starting to hurt retailers more and more. So I think when we think about how that compares to, say, prior to COVID, I don't think that's necessarily a new phenomenon. I think it's just something that is accelerating in how much it's sort of squeezing those retailers in the middle who are undifferentiated. Because customers, I think, are just becoming more smart. They're becoming smarter. They're becoming more discerning. Their behaviors of last year are less likely to predict their behaviors of this year because of just the unsettling of behaviors over the past 4 or 5 years. So say you're, you know, the average regional mid-market supermarket where your people are going every week to buy a few items. People are really scrutinizing that retailer harder and saying, do I need to keep doing this? There's a retailer a few minutes further that offers really good quality and perishables. I'll go to them for that trip. There's a retailer a few minutes further that offers excellent savings on pantry staples. I'm going to go to them for that trip, which leaves the mid-market retailer sort of out of the equation.
So where can folks click over and find more information, and what additional details will they find there?
The full RPI report with additional details and a lot of great analysis is available on Dunnhumby's website, or you can scan the QR code that will be made available during this interview.
Okay, that was great. Lots of insights in that report, folks. So go on over to the Dunnhumby website. You don't want to miss it. There's lots more to uncover. And thank you so much today for your time, Eric. And thank all of you for watching PLMA Live.